I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Today, French guitarist Gael Solal joins us for a live studio performance, and author Marjorie Cohn discusses her book on Joseph Pulitzer Jr., the Post-Dispatch heir who also built one of the greatest private art collections of the 20th century. But first, the St. Louis Chamber Chorus opens its 57th season Sunday afternoon. Philip Barnes is the chorus's longtime artistic director, and we welcome him for the first time to our new facilities at Grand Center. Hi, Philip Barnes. Welcome.
Well, hello, Steve. Thank you, and thank you for inviting me to this wonderful new facility. It's very impressive. I'm so pleased that you've made the move here.
I'm glad you could see it. We're enjoying it so far. You know, speaking of facilities, the venues where the St. Louis Chamber Chorus performs is very important. It's a really important aspect of what you do because the variety of venues, and we'll explain all this a little bit later. But, you know, recently I was thinking, we had our grand opening and it featured a live performance that I hosted featuring Brian Owens and Aaron Bodie, and the acoustics seemed to work really well down in our community room on the first floor. So I was just thinking,
you want 48 people to go sing like Aaron Bodie. Okay. I'll need a little more notice.
If you're looking for a place next season, we've got a great one. But speaking of that, in all seriousness, how are your venues chosen? Is that all up to you?
Yes, it is up to me. It's my responsibility. So if it's wrong, it's my fault. You're right in saying that the choice of venue, the variety of venue, has for a long time been a critical factor in our programming. We want to explore this wonderful city and county and see the wonderful buildings that are available to performance. Some of them are religious, some of them are not religious, but what they have in common is that they are the right sort of place for the human voice to be heard in without amplification. We don't perform with instruments at all, with an a cappella choir, and so it really does matter to us the shape, the type of acoustic that the building has, as well as the associations. So if I find a wonderful church, for example, that is also has a history, let's say, of a Hungarian population, a congregation, I'll program Hungarian music for that building. And so that's always helped me program year in, year out. And this season is no different.
Uh-huh. Well, you say you're the one that actually chooses. So do you have to take your people with you for a sort of a live test drive?
Well, they're a little busy. I suppose it's experience and a bit of luck. I've been singing in these great buildings in England and now here since I was about six, and that's just a few years ago now. Mm-hmm. So I've got some sort of sense of how these buildings operate. Also, I will go on my own and I will sing and do various checks on the sound to see if I can work out what it would be like when the choir arrives. And there are certain guidelines. We always used to joke that the pile of the carpet gets thicker the further west you go. And carpet is death to unaccompanied singing.
Now, are you serious?
I'm deadly serious.
Really?
Yes. Carpet is a very absorbent of sound waves. Uh-huh. So I'm looking for wood, I'm looking for marble, stone, plaster, I'm looking for height, length of the building. The width is critical. There are some really wonderful looking buildings in St. Louis that somehow have the combination of those dimensions wrong in terms of acoustics, which is, you know, why we don't sing there. It's very important that a building not be too wide for voices, because if it's too wide, there's nothing really to focus the sound. If it's too long, the sound can either just go barreling down the building like in a pinball, you know. Mm-hmm. And if it's too short, of course, there's no room for the sound to sort of bloom and blossom. So there are certain guidelines that I know I'm looking for, and it helps me in my search.
But you can really check the acoustics for your whole chorus just by yourself. I think it's fascinating.
Yes, I'll say I can now. Huh. Because I've done it so many times, and we've been performing in, I don't know, over 100 buildings, that I do remember what it was like when I sang in there and then what it sounded like when they sang in there. So you sort of, you know, borrow from that information and build on it.
Well, there's one building that caught my attention this season, and we'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
But the new season, bottom line, is that it starts this weekend, and the theme for this season is American Declarations.
Yes. I like to create not just individual programs that are based on a theme, but a series of concerts that are based on an overarching idea. I think it's important if you're trying to entice people to come and hear the choir and hear this wonderful repertoire, to give them a sense of a journey. These concerts can be enjoyed on their own, but if you can hear more than one in a series, they do feed off one another. It's a sort of continuing journey, as it were, and with a climax at the end of the season in May. So I've chosen a variety of buildings, but the one thing that unites them all is this idea of American Declarations, which is our title. There are some sort of, I suppose, iconic declarations by American writers, American artists that have informed my choice of repertoire and building. And so I think that that sort of helps solidify the repertoire and gives us some sort of coherence to the programming. And yet it's not all the same, because, of course, America isn't all the same. It's this huge country, a continent with variety in it. And so within six programs, I want to sort of explore that idea of variety, but this overarching theme, what is an American declaration?
Well, concert number one is this Sunday afternoon at Second Baptist Church, which is on Clayton Road in Richmond Heights. And before we talk about it, could we hear some of what you're going to do?
Yes. One of the pieces on the program are going to be some hymns from the very early history of Missouri and below the states below Missouri, the Old South. And they're arranged by the Missouri-born composer Virgil Thompson. So one of them is you're going to hear now is called The Morning Star.
The St. Louis Chamber Chorus opens its new season Sunday, Philip Barnes conducting, in today a rude, brief recitative. So is it truly brief and rude?
Well, I'll let the audience decide that. It's not too brief. That's a quote from the great American poet, Walt Whitman.
Mm-hmm. Which you're going to feature in several things, his words.
Yes, his words are to be heard in several pieces on this program on this Sunday. Today, a rude brief recitative is from Song for All Ships, All Seas, I believe. And it's a wonderful poem about, in a sense, the universality of man and how man has to tackle the ocean, the power of the sea, and how, in a way, the sea is so great that it renders us all equally powerless, but equally ambitious, I mm-hmm. suppose. So it's the first movement of a symphony for voices, just for voices, no instruments, by a truly great American composer of the 20th century who's not heard that much, actually, anymore in St. Louis.
Why?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. His music is absolutely fantastic. His name is Roy Harris, and he was a close friend and later a colleague of Aaron Copland, who actually championed him. And in his day, he was very, very highly regarded. He was very, very keen on American folk song. He wrote some wonderful pieces based on traditional tunes from Appalachia. He himself was originally from Oklahoma, but like so many Okies, ended up in California on a farm. he realized that he wasn't cut out to be a farmer, so he sold the farm and then took a job delivering milk in a milk truck and used the money from that just to support himself whilst he developed his compositional career, and was actually really championed and brought out east by Aaron Copland. Harris was always drawn to Whitman. So there are quite a few different settings of Walt Whitman by Roy Harris, but the Symphony for Voices, from which we get our concert title, Today a Rude Brief Recitative, the symphony is extremely challenging for the singers. I wouldn't say it's that challenging for the audience. It's very arresting and very impressive, but it's a true workout for the singers, which is probably why you don't hear it very often. It requires a very special choir to sing it.
Would you share another selection from Sunday's concert?
Yes, well, let's hear a little piece, a bit of a piece by Aaron Copland. And I think when you hear Aaron Copland's music, whether it's for voice or instruments, you can hear some of that broad, expansive American harmony that he became so famous for. And in fact, as you listen to this piece that we'll be singing on Sunday, it's the same sort of harmonic palette that Roy Harris used himself. This is a little piece called Lark. It's not a folk song, but it might as well be. It's almost as if Copland went out of his way to write a folk song.
We're talking with Philip Barnes about the new season for the St. Louis Chamber Chorus, and concert number 2 will be held at the Christ Church Cathedral on Locust in downtown St. Louis, a beautiful place, and you're going to be honoring Veterans Day in November.
Yes,
in November.
The 11th of November, yes. We're going to perform at Christ Church Cathedral a really, I hope, moving and thought-provoking program about those who make the ultimate sacrifice and fight wars on our behalf. The music is wide-ranging from many different styles, many different periods, but united by that idea. So we have Carissimi's Missa L'Homme Armé, the Armed Man Mass from Venice in the 17th century. And we have a very new piece about the World War II experience by an Australian woman composer called Melissa Dunphy, What Do You Think I Fought For at Omaha Beach?, which is a really very interesting and thought-provoking title and also piece of music. And in between, various pieces from conflicts with the Anglo-Saxons and Danes, the Saracens, really remarkable spectrum. Anyway, that's the concert in November.
Then concert number 3 is the Sunday before Christmas in the Central West End at Second Presbyterian Church.
Yes, we're always, I think in St. Louis, the last Christmas concert before the day itself. So ours is just the 23rd. And we're at that wonderful church, that architectural gem in the West End, Central Presbyterian, with its marvelous Tiffany glass. And we're going to sing an entire program based on the wonder of the season. And so wonder and miracles, if you like, are buzzwords that float around all the programming for that concert, including a brand new piece commissioned from a distinguished British composer called Bob Chilcott, who's writing us a new version of Omanium Mysterium, which he's interweaving with an Emily Dickinson poem, Wonder Upon Wonders.
Following that in February, a concert that includes music written for the cinema.
Yes, all of the music in the February concert has been featured in movies, and so the title, Music and Movies Go Hand in Hand, is from Quentin Tarantino, and it really is an exploration of how music is integral to our movie-going experience, if you like.
And that's at a Catholic church also?
That's at St. Anthony of Padua Church in Dutchtown in South St. Louis, celebrating its, I think, 150th, 175th anniversary.
Now, venue for concert number 5 is the one that really caught my attention.
I can't imagine why. I mean, why? What drew you to that concert, Steve?
That's in April in Soulard at the South Broadway Athletic Club.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Well, the South Broadway Athletic Club is housed in a wonderful old building that was originally an ironworks. It was the Stupp Ironworks. And so it looks like a very ordinary, innocuous building from the outside. But when you go in, the whole of the center part of it is just one space from floor way up to the ceiling, which, of course, is why it's ideal for a wrestling arena and why that's where, I suppose, the foundry was originally. So there is a famous poem by Emily Dickinson, which is called Musicians Wrestle Everywhere.
I was going to say there's the boxing ring in the middle of the room, right?
Yeah, so we're going to sing a whole series of settings of the idea of wrestling, either literally wrestling or the using wrestling as a metaphor. So I Wrestle and Pray, which, of course, is a piece by Johann Sebastian Bach. So it's not quite as out there as you think, but it will be an interesting and different take on both the venue and repertoire.
I love the idea. Then Concert 6, that will be the final concert of your 57 season on May 26th, this one in South St. Louis.
Yes. As I said earlier on, these programs are sort of designed to be part of a journey, and I hope that by the end of the journey, you'll all be very happy and having heard us on five previous occasions. So the sixth concert, the finale, is called Chanting to Paradise, and that, again, is an Emily Dickinson poem. And there are some magnificent pieces to be sung in that building, St. Francis de Sales in South St. Louis, really the cathedral of the South Side, now an oratory, a wonderful building. It lends itself beautifully to some of the most eloquent and beautiful arrangements, I suppose, of Gregorian chant.
Well, if you'd like more information about the season, which opens this Sunday for the St. Louis Chamber Chorus, please go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the chorus's website. And again, everything begins this Sunday. It's 3 p.m.?
It's this Sunday at 3 p.m., and there's nothing rude about it. It's not particularly brief, but the concert title is Today, a Rude, Brief Recitative.
And again, for more on the 57th season of the St. Louis Chamber Chorus, please go to the Cityscape page, and we'll have all the information you need there. American Declarations is what they're calling this season. Philip Barnes is the Chamber Chorus's Artistic Director, and great to see you, and thanks for being here again today.
Thanks for the invitation, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Classic Modern, The Art Worlds of Joseph Pulitzer, Jr., and later, French guitarist Gael Solal. This is St. Louis Public Radio.